We would like to welcome our radio audience to the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church at 333 South Chestnut Street. If you enjoy our radio ministry and would like to further the building of His kingdom, you can visit our website at www.dev.tumcseymour.org. Our next community meal will be Saturday, March 18th, from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Please join us for some good food and fun fellowship here at Trinity United Methodist Church, 333 South Chestnut Street, Seymour. On Saturday, April 1st at 10 a.m., our church is offering a community Easter egg hunt. We hope that you will bring your kiddos out to enjoy the morning here at Trinity United Methodist Church, 333 South Chestnut Street, Seymour. Then on the next day, Sunday, April 2nd, bring the kiddos back to Trinity United Methodist Church from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. to involve them in the Journey to the Cross program. It will be a fun journey for them to learn what God did for us. That's at 333 South Chestnut Street, Seymour. And today's scripture reading will come from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 18 through 25, followed by today's sermon, A Little Foolishness, by Pastor Angel Armstrong. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand miraculous signs, and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. God's word for God's people.
Praise be to God. Hap enjoyed reading his Bible. Well, it wasn't really reading the Bible that Hap enjoyed so much. He enjoyed excavating, digging out little bits and pieces from the Word that others might not know. He really loved to catch preachers off guard with some of his questions, stumping them so that they could not answer it. You see, Hap all his life had been treated less than. Hap came from the west end of town, where things were not as good as the rest of the town, and he had always been looked down on. Therefore, he felt like the preachers and those who were educated and those who sat in the pews with fancy clothes on thought that they were better than him. And he sought to trip them up with these little bits and pieces of knowledge from the Bible. Hap rode through the town on his bicycle. He even learned to go down some of the alleyways which the preachers learned to travel on. The people who lived next door to the parsonages in town would laugh when they would see the preacher drop their rake and run in the house. They knew that Hap had turned the corner to some unsuspecting preacher. He thought that when he pulled up behind them silently, he was being funny. When he would shout out a question to them, like, who was the oldest? Shadrach, Meshach, or Abednego. And then he would stand there waiting for them to answer the question. Most of them didn't bother trying to answer the question. They said, well, the story doesn't really tell us. The book of Daniel doesn't really tell us which one was the oldest. A few of them might guess. And to that, Hap stood there, ready and waiting with the next question. How did you know that? But if they said, I don't really know, he would say, well, of course, it was Shadrach. Don't you know that the one listed first in the Bible is the eldest? Look at all those begats in the book of Leviticus. Poor Hap. The preacher might try to redeem himself and say something like, those weren't really listed in a particular order to prove who was the eldest. They were trying to show the lineage. And he'd say, and you call yourself a preacher. What do you know? He would go back and forth with them. Most of them would be up front and say they didn't know. But frequently, he would catch them at an off time, and then he would ride off on his bike, quoting 1 Corinthians, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent, and I will frustrate those who think themselves wise. On Sundays at noon, Hap loved to watch television because that's when the local station aired a panel of preachers. And you could mail in a question. And if you stumped the panel of preachers and they couldn't answer the question, you got a gospel record album. Now, Hap didn't really care so much about the record album, sadly. When his family went in to clean his house after he had died, they opened a closet door and there stood about a 4-foot-high stack of record albums. Hap lived for that show. He absolutely loved finding bits and pieces in the Bible that would stump that panel of preachers. Hap was from the West End, and he thought that those who had an education considered themselves better than him. Time and time again, he had seen the look on their faces as his family sat in the pews with their West End clothing on. Those of you who grew up poor like I did know those looks. They kind of look down their nose at you just a little bit. But wasn't he indeed doing the same thing here? Actually, he was interpreting today's passage in the same way that Paul had meant it. Hap made it his mission, though he kind of did it in a roundabout way. He made it his mission to knock down the haughty, just a couple of pegs. Those who thought they were so much better than him and his family. Those who had looked down at him. It wasn't really about the wisdom. It was about something else, actually. Actually, it was exactly what Paul was writing to the church, and Hap didn't realize it. When we hear Paul say that God will destroy the wisdom of the wise, we usually think that he is actually talking about wisdom and that somehow God thinks it's not a good thing to be wise. Now, God doesn't think that at all. We are called to be wise, to use the wisdom and the understanding of God. We are called to be as gentle as doves and as wise and as shrew as the serpents. I've heard that there are people who who do look down upon those who are poor. I can remember growing up and wearing hand-me-down clothes from the elderly lady next door. I remember once people throwing coins at my sister's shoes because her shoes were falling apart. And we tend to grow up with our own thoughts of how people are judging us. Hap felt judged by other people, and he spent his life trying to be valued in the same way that he saw value in others. Now, Corinth was a great big city, and there were lots of schools and lots of academies. And if you were lucky enough to get into the Academy of Socrates or the School of Plato or where Aristotle was teaching, that meant that you had a great standing in the community. But you had to have money to do that. And not only did you have to have money to do that, these schools had a reputation to uphold. So your family background mattered when you went to school. The great thing about the church in Corinth was that your family background didn't matter. And you didn't have to have money to go to church, to be valued the same as others. Hap was used to being laughed at. He was used to having his family threatened. There were people in the group at Corinth who had been criticized and attacked for what they believed about Jesus Christ. Our scripture this morning says that most people then considered the message of the cross foolishness. They were threatened. They were laughed at. They were ridiculed. They were considered unwise because they believed that Jesus Christ and God the Father so loved us that Christ died upon the cross for us. To some of the wise people in Corinth, Christians were people who could have made more of themselves if they had only tried, if they had only worked harder, saved money, and got into one of the expensive schools. They could have made something of themselves. To some of the wise people in Corinth, the poor Christians were living lives that God wanted them to be living. They were getting what they deserved. That's just how things were. They needed to accept the fact that some people were different, and they needed to make the best out of their particular situation and not try to be something that they really weren't. As a result, many of the church members were leaving the church and giving up their belief in Jesus Christ. That makes me so sad. Because it hurt too much to be viewed as less intelligent, to be viewed as different. Therefore, they left the church and, like many people do, tried to find their place in society. They just gave up and accepted the reality that maybe they really were less than. That is what Paul was writing to the Corinthian church about. Yes, he said the message of the cross seemed as if it was pure foolishness to the wise. And they were right about that. It did sound like foolishness. But the simple reality is that the idea of foolishness was exactly what Jesus expects of all of us if we are going to live our lives like his. What is the foolishness? The message of the cross The foolishness is to believe that every person was created in the image of God and that every person was loved and valued. Christ crawled up upon that cross, and it was not the Roman soldiers there. It wasn't even the nails that pierced his flesh that held him to that cross. It was his love for each and every person, past, present, and future. He saw such value in each and every person, created in the image of his Father, that he willingly died upon that cross. His love held him there so that we would be reconciled with God and live in eternity with God. I mean, if we only had that attitude now, that we are all created equal, that the kid that's in the detention center, that the woman that is on disability, or the woman trying to raise three kids in a basement apartment living off of a welfare check, are just as valuable in the sight of God as what we are. What about those who are neatly dressed, stylish, arriving at church in big cars on Sunday morning, or the couple who was raised right and knows how to save their money, pay their tithes, save for retirement, and act right socially in society? Are they not as equal as the woman trying to raise those three kids in the basement apartment? It is foolishness to think that we are all equal, that we are all equal in the eyes of God, that we all have the same value, and that we are all loved alike. It is foolish to think that we deserve the same thing. We are foolish to think that none of the stuff matters. Our roles, our houses, our clothes, our cars, our job, our status. Sadly, these things do make a difference in our society. But the message of the cross tells us something different. Jesus ended up hanging on the same pole, the same tree, the same cross as what the criminals did. He died the same death as what those criminals did. He could have rallied all of his forces, all forces in heaven. He could have had angels come down from heaven and kicked the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the Romans all the way down to Antarctica, if he had wanted to. But then the message of the cross would have taught us that those who had power and those who had prestige were more important, that God considered them more worth saving. Jesus could have climbed down from that cross and gone back to the temple and had a theological debate with everyone in that temple and convince them to believe what he believed. And then he could have gone to Rome and done the same thing with Caesar. But then the message of the cross would have been that it takes wisdom and an ability to speak and debate for God to consider you worth saving. Maybe Jesus could have gone straight to Rome and offered Caesar a God-sized boatload of money. But then, the message of the cross would have been that it's about money and stuff. No, Jesus died upon the cross like a poor criminal. He died alongside those who had absolutely nothing. alongside the rest of the world. It was foolish. It still is foolish. Think about that the next time you see a homeless veteran, a millionaire, a photo of a child in a detention camp, a doctoral student, the lady raising her kids in a basement apartment, the person not dressed the way you think that they should be dressed in church. What goes through your mind when you see them? What do you think? As an ambassador of Christ, a person living your life the way you believe Jesus would have you to live it, what do you see? I don't know about you, but there are those who think that the message of the cross is foolishness. Not I. I know that there is power in the blood. Wonder-working power in the blood of the cross. Let them think that we are foolish. For when we are weak and humble, He is strong. I don't know about you, but I fully believe in the power of the cross and in the blood that was shed for me, because Jesus is my all in all. And I thank Him that the message of the cross is that we are valuable, we are loved, we are created equal, so much so that love held Him to that cross.
Till he